Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. If you are Apple, make sure that you use Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server. You can find it right here on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel, as well as pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. $2.99 per month. This is where you can escape from Twitter and everywhere else and just talk Heat with us and other Heat fans. Again, it's Off the Floor. Check it out right here, pinned to the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes our friends over at Mobile C-Arm and Staffing. Check them out, Mobile C-Arm Staffing Services. You can find them at c-armandstaffing.com. That's c-armandstaffing.com. 561-891-9620. That's 561-891-9620. Nelson and his team will take good care of you. If you work in a hospital or a doctor's office, you got to reach out to them. They will bring everything to you, the x-ray equipment and the staffing. It's basically a one-step stop shop for medical offices. So check them out. Again, it's c-armandstaffing.com. Again, c-armandstaffing.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got them all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Hey, I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander. Today's floor plan, going to give you some updates as we look ahead to game four between the Heat and the Celtics. It will be played at 7:30, not 7 o'clock. That's a result of the Nuggets-Lakers series being extended. So the game is at 7:30, gives Heat fans a chance to actually arrive by the second quarter. So hopefully they will. Hopefully they'll be able to make more of a game of this than they did in game three. Here are some of the updates. No Terry Rozier again. We've been telling you not to expect him anytime soon. Great mystery about this injury. We'll probably find out more about it in months. This is the way that the Heat operate, but it's not great. I mean, this is not ideal. This is a player that you need back, and he's not ready to come back. And we haven't gotten a chance to talk to him of late. So again, we don't really know what the situation is, other than the fact that he's not on the floor, and that means that the Heat are likely going to have to use the same starting lineup that they've been using lately with Hero and Martin, as well as Hakez, Jovic, and Bam. We are expecting DeLon Wright to return. He missed the game for personal reasons. I don't want to get into the specific reason because that's his personal business, only to say that it was actually not a bad thing, okay, in any way, and he is expected to play in game four for Miami, and that will help because right now the Heat just don't have enough bodies. I mean, it just comes down to that. I was going through it yesterday. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is basically playing 6.5. And the half is Duncan Robinson. And I talked to him after the game yesterday on the side, and I give him credit because he said flat out to me, look, I don't want to make excuses. And then he said, we'll talk after all this is over. And that tells you everything you need to know. I don't really think that he would be playing if A, this wasn't the playoffs, and B, they weren't so shorthanded. So I think both of those things coming together, I give Duncan credit for being out there, but we are not blind. He does not look like the same player that he looked like for the majority of the season. And the concern going forward here is with a back injury and what's technically called facet syndrome, whether this gets better with rest, we'll see. He's going to have an off season to rest. And hopefully he comes back as the player we saw for the first half of the season. But essentially with that, with Kevin Love not really being a fit for this series, at least in the eyes of Eric Spoelstra, because the minutes tell you that he's not playing him. He actually went to Thomas Bryant for a stretch in the last game. Then you're talking about two guys in Love and Duncan who were core components for them in their rotation this season. In addition to no Butler, no Rozier, and in the last game, the Josh Richardson replacement, DeLon Wright, was not available. So, you know, then you look at the rest of the roster. You got Thomas Bryant and Orlando Robinson. They're centers. There's not going to help a lot with this particular situation. And people are like, they should play Jamal Cain. They can't. He and Alondis Williams and Cole Swider are all two ways. So none of them can be played. And that leaves you with Patty Mills, and Spo didn't seem to want to play him in the last game. So there's just, they've run out of bodies at this stage. And if they had Rozier, then maybe we would be talking about him injecting some life into the series. But don't aggregate this. I anticipate the next time we'll see Terry Rozier is in training camp. This is one of those situations I've learned from the Heat over the years. When they're holding a guy out and out and out and out and out and they're mysterious, it's just like Tyler Hero in the playoffs last year. You don't end up seeing him. So that's where we're at right now. Agreed. So with that said, Greg, we want to pivot to the rest of the playoffs. I'm going to let you take off here because I think we can learn some things from what's going on in some other series. So I will let you go with the first one, and that's going to be the topic today. What can the Heat, as they're trying to build past what looks like is going to be a season that's going to end earlier than usual, what can they learn from what's going on around the NBA right now?
I think one thing is that the league is younger, and you're seeing younger players in bigger spots in the playoffs, and the playoffs tell. And when you see guys like Derek Lively in Dallas having a role, there's young players across teams like Oklahoma City and Minnesota that are playing prominent roles. The league is getting younger, and that's interesting. Jaime Jaquez and Nico Jovic both are going to be able to likely get expanded roles going forward. And so that tells me something that I think is worth us monitoring, you know, the fact that you can draft a guy, and if he's the right player, fits your style and is ready to contribute, he can come in and play.
Well, I think that's true. And I think the Heat have been in some ways at the forefront of this because we've seen them in recent years plug rookies in, whereas they didn't before. You know, if you go historically with this Heat organization, rookies, I mean, that was the whole thing. Pat Riley didn't play rookies, right? That's what everybody said. I mean, it took Lacy a catastrophe for him to give a rookie a big role, which was like, for instance, like in the 1999, I guess it would have been the 2000 playoffs in 1999, where Anthony Carter played ahead of Tim Hardaway because Tim got hurt. And so Anthony ended up having to be a starting point guard in a first round series against Detroit. And I remember us at the time were like, wow, Pat's playing a rookie. Pat's trusting a rookie. Right. Again, he didn't really have any choice. In recent years, we have seen, though, whether it was Winslow and Richardson in 16 or, you know, Bam got some minutes. Tyler obviously played a prominent role in 2020. And now we've seen Jaquez and Jovic, who is essentially a rookie this year. I think what it may lead to, I don't know that it affects Jaquez and Jovic as much, but I do think maybe it influences the decision with their pick this year. And we've seen that now with Denver also, because you mentioned what Lively's doing, but also you look at a couple of the young players that are playing for Denver that have kind of filled out their rotation right now, whether it's Peyton Watson, Christian Braun last year. I mean, I talked to him about the similarities between him and Jaquez. He knows Jaime pretty well, but what they basically decided to do is go get ready to play college players. Like, that's their strategy. Like, their idea is, we're in this window now, we're in this short window, we're going to get 21-22 year olds, similar to what the Heat have done with Jaquez, because we don't want to wait on a guy. We're not punting this down the road for potential. We want somebody we can plug into the rotation, if not the first year, then by the second or third year. And then they could let a Bruce Brown walk, right? Because they knew that they had Peyton Watson there, who was kind of a lengthier, springier player to fill that spot. So I do think, as you look at the Heat's success in drafting in the space that they're going to be drafting this year, which is middle of the first round, it makes me more inclined to say, well, why would you trade that pick? Like, if you can get a productive player now who can help you. And I know that the counter to that, you know, by the transaction fiends is going to be, well, you need that pick to be able to swap it for something else big. But I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm definitely saying that you should value it. I'm going to go to another one here, and then we'll go back and forth on these, Greg, but one more that kind of strikes me that could be read either way. is that you cannot be too reliant on a star system. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've seen that with Phoenix and just plugging guys in. And I was talking to somebody with the Heat organization yesterday about this. And I'm like, well, they didn't get a point guard. And his point to me was, well, they could really get a point guard. They didn't have the resources for it, but also like Beal and Booker are going to play down the stretch. Right. So, I mean, like, there's only so many guys you can put on the floor at the end of games. And that's what this is really about in the postseason. And so are you going to have a point guard who makes sense to put out there with the two of them? And then you can defend the way you need to defend with the two of them at the two and the three or not. And I think what we've seen is just throwing together star teams without any thought of actual roster construction and fit and how the puzzle pieces fit. That does not make sense. And now, I mean, it's very simple here with these big threes, so to speak. There's really only two that have succeeded. The Boston one succeeded because all those players were in similar places in their careers, Garnett, Allen, and Pierce, and they fit perfectly. And so they just got off to they had Rondo there already, and we don't like to talk about him, but Kendrick Perkins and the pieces fit. And so, you know, again, they got off to this tremendous run and they ended up closing it out with one championship, which now they treat like the greatest championship of all time. And they didn't sustain it. I mean, they, you know, won more finals, but that was it. But then you look at the Heat situation and the Heat big three. I mean, everybody said, oh, well, they only won two championships. Yeah, they reached four finals. They made it all four times. And now as we've seen what's happened to these other big three type constructions since, I think that should be valued a little bit more. It didn't work with the Nets. It's not working with Phoenix. And people are going to say Golden State. But let me just say one thing about that, okay? Their big three before Durant came in was all homegrown. They drafted Curry, they drafted Clay, they drafted Draymond. Unique. Now, yes, they threw the thing over the top, okay, with Durant, and perhaps OKC would have, if they had cashed in on a championship against Miami in 12, we would say that was a big three as it turned out, right? Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. And maybe OKC will do it in a homegrown way this way. We're starting to see that some of that happening. But I just think the point should be made that this idea of just going out and getting stars. Now, the counter to that, Greg, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, is going to be when you look at a win like the Clippers had today against Dallas, okay, people are going to say, well, look, you didn't have Kawhi, but you had Paul George and Harden, and because you had these other stars who could carry, both of them got over 30 today and, you know, ended up winning a game to tie that series at two. Whereas Miami doesn't have that luxury. If you know, Jimmy is Miami's Kawhi, and if he goes out, you're counting on Bam and Tyler to carry, and that's not the same from a scoring perspective as, you know, say a Harden and Paul George. Would you look at it that way at all? You have more stars.
It shows you that you don't need three of them, but you probably need two of them. And in Miami's scenario, with the way Jimmy and Bam play off each other, you probably need three of them scoring wise. Just offensively, you need three of those top line guys. So to me, there is something to that for Miami, but also to the parity in the league, the fact that you were so close to being, you know, in the sixth seed and playing against this Milwaukee team that's a shell of themselves. It just shows you too that taking the regular season more seriously is something that I think is a big touching point going forward for not only the Heat, but for league wide. I mean, it really matters now where you finish because of the way that the seedings are breaking down.
And you know what I wish the NBA would do? And I know I hate that Kevin O'Connor was the one who suggested this because I know why he suggested it. And it's because of a Boston bias. But I actually like the idea of letting teams pick their first round opponents. Yeah,
that is
I think that would, I think it would be great, right? Like if you're Boston, like you pick the team, and they wouldn't have picked Miami. I mean, not when they assumed Jimmy was going to be healthy, right? They would have probably picked Orlando. First thing, it creates bad blood and a rivalry from the very beginning, which I like. It's like, you wanted us. Okay, you got us. Like that's an immediate storyline. But honestly, that should be, I mean, it shouldn't be this kind of random thing where essentially it's random because you had like, you know, six teams in the East separated by like three or four games. It was hard to really position yourself because you didn't know who was going to be in what spot. So it's not like you could kind of target another team. We saw it Cleveland, and they're going to get what they deserve now because they clearly tanked the last game of the season to get Orlando. And now they're likely going to get eliminated by Orlando, which good for Orlando. Okay. But I like the concept of the better teams actually getting a chance to pick their opponent. Make that their reward. Make that their reward. That's it. You get the number one seed. You get to pick whatever team you think you match up best with. And you have a draft. I think I have Barkley and Shaq like commentated. Yeah. I think that'd be, I mean, Barkley just sent New Orleans. Oh, it's terrific. I mean, Barkley just sent New Orleans, the Pelicans, to Galveston already. He said they don't even deserve a trip to Cancun with that dirty water. Like, I think it'd be good. I mean, there's a whole villain origin story with Jokic, with getting picked last by LeBron in the LeBron Giannis draft. So again, why not have the team's draft? Like, seriously, put Brad Stevens out there and say, we want Orlando. No disrespect, but we want Orlando or we want Cleveland. I think that would be great. I trust me, that nobody would pick the Heat in that scenario. Anyway, when we come back, we'll get into some more lessons that we've learned here or maybe are starting to learn here during the Heat's playoff season and obviously the playoff seasons of the other teams. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. That's Water Cleanup of Florida, based in Boca Raton. They service the entire area, though, all three counties. Your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. If you have a leak in your house or place of business, reach out to them immediately. You don't want to deal with the damage afterwards, deal with the insurance companies and all of that. Best thing to do, again, is reach out to Michael Robert and his team. So check them out at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. More than 70 five-star Google reviews. Michael Robert and their group will take good care of you. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, so you have another one here related to the type of roster that you may need to build to compete with some of these teams.
As I'm watching the playoffs, it is abundantly clear to me that the Heat are not big enough. They need another player in the front court. They need another half-court shot creator as well, and that's a conversation for another day. But to me, they need someone in the front court. They are too small, and that becomes abundantly clear the more that I watch these playoffs.
They need functional size.
Yeah. Switchable,
Switchable, functional. And Eric didn't like the question when I asked him in training camp, maybe because of the way I framed it, where I'd said that Mike Malone had said during the finals, I was right there, I was in Denver, and he said, you know, about what they tried to accomplish with Denver, says we like to have functional size at every position. Functional size means not just a big guy who's there to be big, okay, but a big guy who bigger players at each position to impact the game. And Miami is traditionally small. Now, you know, we endorsed the acquisition of Rozier, but he's another player who's not big for his position. Tyler is not big for his position. Duncan is, but there are other limitations there, even when he's entirely healthy. Jimmy is kind of average size for a three, but when you start to size him up to the four, he's going to be undersized. And of course, they've run through a number of guys playing the four. And I know our guy Sean Rocher is going to hate that I'm doing this position wise, but again, you can only put five on the floor, right? And so if you're switching guys all the time, and you're switching 6'3 with 6'5 against 6'9 and 6'7.
You keep switching down.
You keep switching down. Like, eventually you're going to have an issue there. And so I just think that they need more size. Now, Jovic gives them more size. He's playing with more physicality now. You like to see that. To me, this has never been about necessarily putting some big oaf next to Bam, okay? Because part of what makes the Heat's defense annually elite is Bam's ability to do what he does from the position he plays, okay? So I'm not one of those, I'm hearing all this stuff about the kid from Purdue. You got to draft him because he's 7'5" and put it next to Bam. I'm on some chats where everybody's, there's no way they're doing that. It's just not the way that they play. And they don't want to use, they don't want to deploy Bam that way. Okay. They did it briefly with Myers Leonard for that bubble season. And that's pretty much been it. Other than that, it's just not the way Spoelstra wants to go. But also, going heavy minutes with 6'5 Caleb Martin or 6'5 Haywood Highsmith playing next to Bam, even though their rebounding numbers tend to be okay in those scenarios, better than people think, eventually I think the lack of size just wears on you. It just and I think it gets and there is a theory here, and they need to look at everything, okay, when it comes to their injury situation, because it has been ridiculous this year. It's not just them. We've seen a lot of stars around the league are out. Lillard's out. Giannis is out. Zion's out. Kawhi's out. It's not, Embiid's hurt. Mitchell hasn't been playing 100%, I don't think. There's a lot of guys, star-level players, who've been banged up, okay? And I think the whole league needs to look at this whole, the way that they don't practice anymore, the way that they used to. They thought they'd be preserving players. It doesn't seem to be, okay? Or the load management of games, preserving players for the playoffs. Why are they all hurt now then? Okay. I mean, a lot of it is just, bad luck, but it doesn't seem to be helping. I'll just leave it at that. It's similar to baseball, where you see every pitcher's blowing their arm out now. Well, they don't extend their minutes. Their innings in the minor leagues anymore. Like, everybody's on pitch counts. Great. Okay. The whole point was to preserve their arms. Why is there a Tommy John surgery scheduled every 3 hours? Like, it's crazy. So I do think everybody needs to look at it, but the Heat, I think, need to look at the size thing, because I think, and nobody can prove this, I think that it's wearing their players down as the season progresses.
I tend to agree.
And Bam specifically, Greg, I think it's just, you're asking him to do too much for 6 months, and then it's like, okay, now he's got to crank it up in the playoffs. I don't know how he could, honestly.
Agree. And also, you're asking him to crank it up offensively when he's having to do so many things defensively as the biggest dude on the court, and he's undersized to begin with. So they need another functional big man that can play next to Bam. Nico is a good start, especially as he continues to gain size, but they need another guy, frankly. They just need another one to have in that rotation along with K-Love in spots.
Jimmy Butler started his career as a two. I would, it typically, the way that it works is, Shane Battier told me this once, and it applied to him, is typically as players age out, they go up a position.
Yeah.
Right. And the Heat have, again, they put the PJ Tucker type. PJ played some three early in his career. He put the PJ Tucker type at the four, the Trevor Ariza type at the four, right? Like, all of these guys at the four, Shane, Spo kind of went to pace and space and putting Shane at the four, right? But I actually think I know there's a quickness deficit sometimes when you go size down, when you have a player go down a position as he ages, because obviously he's not going to be as fast as he was before. He's going to be facing quicker, smaller players. But I wonder what this team would look like if Jimmy was playing the two consistently. Okay. Sean is going to hate this episode. If he's playing the two, and then when you're switching 2-4, 2-3, even 2-5,
the size isn't.
Right. So these are all things I think that they looked at. But the final thing I think that needs to be seriously considered by this organization over the offseason is, what do they make of the fact that the East basically sucks? Okay. Like, I mean, what we're seeing, I mean, I watching these games, okay, and it is very frustrating that they're in the position that they're in.
Exactly.
Because if they had simply, like you said, taking the regular season seriously or put themselves in a better position, I really think if they were slightly healthier than they are now, like, give me Rozier or Jimmy, okay? And give me, like, Duncan with, healthy. I honestly think they could beat any single one of these teams other than Boston without all that much trouble. I'm naive, maybe I'm blind, but it's just like, I'm looking at some of these teams, I'm like, the Knicks
are not
that
impressive.
No, the Knicks style is impressive. The Knicks buying into what Tibbs is doing, I would take a lot of those guys on the Heat. I would take Josh Hart. I would take Mitchell Robinson. I would take Hartenstein. They have a certain. They remind me of, you know, some of Riley's Knicks teams. They've taken on Tibbs' personality. They've got grit. They've got toughness. But they really have one guy who can consistently score. They have one. I mean, Vinny Vincenzo's had a great year playing off of him, but they have one guy who can consistently score. And I know he hurt Miami in a playoff series last year, but the Heat survived it. Spo survived it. And I feel like those one-man teams don't beat Miami. And then you look at Cleveland, they're a mess. Okay. It's just they're a mess. Like I think Mitchell's probably on the way out the door. We'll probably devote some episodes to that. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like they're playing for JB the right way. Strus, I feel bad for Max. He hasn't looked good in the postseason so far this time. They were beatable. Orlando's a good story, but I mean, I think it's a product of their opponent more than anything else at this stage. And Philly, I mean, yeah, Miami lost the one game with them. They probably should have won. But Embiid is not, even with scoring 50 the other day, is not. We know he's one knee twist away from being out for 4 weeks. This thing is open. Indiana has made a nice run this year, but I don't look at them as like a championship contender in the next 2-3 years. Heck, whereas in the West, OKC, you don't want to deal with them. Minnesota, that kid is Anthony Edwards is Dwayne reincarnate. Okay. Like that. Yeah. He's going to terrorize people for a long time. You're still dealing with Luka. Okay. And Denver is what Denver is, okay? One loss to the Lakers aside. And Wemby's coming. I mean, they're literally two pieces away from that being a dangerous, dangerous team. How many teams in the East can you say that about? So when I ask that, Greg, I'm like, okay, so if you're Miami, how do you approach that? Do you say, okay, well, we still got Jimmy. We're still in Jimmy's window. We can win the East or at least get to an Eastern Conference Finals against Boston healthier next time. Regardless, I mean, Milwaukee, by the way, is going to be a disaster. I mean, that team is, I mean, Middleton, Brooke, like they have no way to reshape that team. It's a mess. So like, or do you say, okay, so let's go in because we can win the East. We can, or do you maybe go the other direction a little bit here and may say, okay, let's build around the young guys right now and try to rise back up the standings that way.
I have a feeling they're going to try to do both, or fans aren't going to love that. They're going to want us to pick a direction, but I think that they're going to be able to build around young players and have them integrated into big moments, and that's what's going to have to be enough, because when you have this top heavy of a roster and you're up against the second apron, you don't have the vehicles to get better other than that, so they're going to have to rely on those guys. So I think that's ultimately where we're heading, is them trying to bridge the two, and I think that that has frustrated fans, but I don't see any other way that they're going to approach this.
Yeah, I've called it a bridge timeline, and I do think to a certain extent it's worked in the sense of you have, as you mentioned, been able to bring Jovic along while giving Hakez this role, while getting to play in meaningful games now. That's all positive. None of the young guys have taken a huge step back, which is positive, unlike what we kind of saw with Golden State, with what they were trying to do with Wiseman and some of the others and Poole, et cetera. And now basically they just have Kuminga left from that particular part of kind of their two timelines build. But if I was to ask this, if I was to say, okay, who's scared outside of Boston, which is kind of a finished product now, and it's sort of just a case of they're going to pay Porzingis, they've paid Holiday. You know, they've paid Brown, they're going to pay Tatum. Like this is their core. I don't see them moving off a lot of it. Okay. And they're going to be a pain in the ass to deal with for the next 2 to 3 years. Okay. This is the way it is. Who's the other team in the East that like worries you for like a next 2 to 3 year timeline? Like if you're in Miami, who are you concerned about? Who are you building against?
There really isn't one, and you're not building against any specific team, and you're not scared of the Celtics. So really, all indications are that you really should maybe prioritize going all in, because there is a striking distance window right here. There just is.
I know people are going to say, well, Orlando's an up-and-coming rising team. I like Franz a lot. Yeah, not yet. I like Paolo, right? Like they need probably two legitimate like rotation like plus pieces
Tyler that they Heroes. Need
to acquire in free agency. Maybe. I think another 3-and-D, go with Isaac, maybe, maybe another pure point guard. You know, I can see places that they can build there, and defensively Mosley's put in a plan, but like, I'm not seeing OKC. I'm not seeing some of the things we're seeing out west. Like, you know, again, Miami is perfectly positioned geographically because, you know, this is the NBA is going to hate this. But I mean, we're looking at a lot of OKC, Denver, San Antonio clashes in the Western Conference here for a long time. I think San Antonio is further behind, but they have the guy who's going to be the best player. So ultimately, like, if you look at their build, you know, Pop is probably a couple of years away from getting it where he wants it and probably turning it over to somebody else. But once they get there, they're going to be hard to take off. Like, unless Wemby is seriously injured, which nobody hopes for, but they hit the jet. Not only do they have a kid who's a physical freak, like nobody we've ever seen, he's also like an intellectual freak too. Like, he's just, and I say that in glowing terms, I'm complimenting him. He like understands what's important. He works. He's just like, they have like, he's him. Okay. And it's just once they get there, OKC is going to be in that position. And I don't think Denver's – I mean, Jokic isn't 30 yet. So as long as they have him, like, until he goes to race his horses, like, that's basically – I mean, that's what you're hoping for. It's like that meme where they're showing that commercial of LeBron talking to his former self. And there's a meme that says, go find a man named Nikola Jokic. Tell him to raise horses full time. Yeah. Because honestly, that's he essentially has ended LeBron's championship window here with what he's done. All right, but the Heat does not appear that the championship window will include this season. If they win Monday night, and I will be there along with Brady and Alex, Greg will be manning the postgame stream. If they win, we'll probably do a little bit more strategy stuff before game five. But honestly, I know you guys did it on the postgame show. I did it on a video. We did it on playback. There really wasn't a lot to say about game three. It was, you know, you got to shoot your open shots. Right. Outclass. Exactly. That's just where they're at right now. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, Mobile C-Arm and Staffing, and also c-armandstaffing.com, and also Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Subscribe to the Discord and use the code 5 at Prize Picks. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.